Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Great grace. God is amazing. He is so wonderful. Hallelujah. He is so meek, so lowly, so humble. He is just God and God all by himself. And I love the Lord for that. I appreciate God for everything that he is doing in all of our lives. Hallelujah. Because he's moving, believe it or not, he's moving at warp speed. And I thank him. I thank him. I thank him. Hallelujah for everything that he is doing. I thank him for where he has brought great grace from. When I think back on some, you know, when we first got started and in the middle, you know, just reminiscing over just exciting moments in ministry, I just praise and I thank God, hallelujah, for just keeping us and bringing us from a long, long ways, hallelujah. I thank God too, because he kept us out of so much danger, so much trouble, hallelujah. God kept us, I know he kept me, hallelujah. And I thank God, I thank him, and I thank him, and I thank him. And I do honor the Lord on this afternoon, this evening. I honor his blessed son, Jesus. I honor his precious Holy Spirit. And I give honor to my husband in his absence and to each and every one of you that are tuned in on this evening. Hallelujah. We've been talking about our relationship with God. And last week, we started talking about our relationship with others. And we started talking about love, how we really have to love one another, not just do the lip service thing. I love you. Oh, I love everybody now. And that's a statement that we just should never make, because you can't really love people that you really don't even know. Not love. You may have a fondness for them, but I'm talking about genuine love, because people that you don't really know, you can't say I love everybody, because you don't love them like you love your own self. Even your neighbors that are around you, you don't love them like you love yourself. So you can't truthfully say you love somebody that you don't even know, or someone that you really don't have dealings with on even a semi-regular basis. Hallelujah. So we want to continue talking about our relationship with others. And every time I kept pulling up scriptures, most of them still dealt with love. I'm not going over any of the scriptures that we had on last week, but even on this week, I'm still pulling up so many scriptures dealing with love. Love for the brother, love for one another. And I still don't have all of them. We're just going to talk about a few of them on tonight. So our first scripture is coming from Matthew chapter 22. If you can get your Bibles in whatever form you have your Bible in, go to Matthew chapter 22. Verse 37 says, Jesus, ouch. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Hallelujah. You love yourself, whether it's a reckless love, whether it's a deadly love, a venomous love, whatever kind of love it is, you claim you love yourself. Hallelujah. But do you really love your neighbor like you do yourself? Hallelujah. How many times do you not even consider your neighbor when it comes to something that you want, something that you want done, something that you want maybe from someone? Hallelujah. How often do you really consider your neighbor? We're taught when we're young, especially, to just worry about ourselves, take care of ourselves. And that's something that's really hard for me to do. I think a lot of times even people get offended because I'm always thinking about the next person. What kind of blessing that I can help them obtain. Hallelujah. And I come to realize that when people don't love their neighbors as themselves, when you reach out to them and you try to love them like you would love your own self, they don't understand it. Hallelujah. But that's something that we need to practice doing because the scripture commands us to do it. Hallelujah. We're, for the most part, we're taught to worry about ourselves, be concerned about ourselves, and let everybody else take care of themselves. That's not your problem. That's not for you to worry about. But that's not what the scripture says. Hallelujah. The troubles and the struggles and the trials that I have in this life, they are for you to worry about. Your troubles, your trials, your struggles, they are for me to worry about. Hallelujah. Because if I'm going to love you as I love myself, hallelujah, then I'm going to try to figure out a way to try to get you out of whatever fix you may be in the midst of. Whether you want the help or not, that does not stop me from caring. Hallelujah. And regardless of what a person's response is to you, you just have to do what you know to do is right according to the word of God, however God commanded you. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Okay. Loving your neighbor as yourself. You know, my next door neighbor, when he saw that we weren't getting our grass cut, he cut our grass and even got a company to come and to cut our grass. There was a time where our lawnmower wasn't working and just a whole lot of stuff going on. But I thank God because every time he wanted his yard to look good, he wanted ours to look good, and he would cut the grass. And I'm like, God, thank you. I don't know that they are church-going people, so to say, but if they are not, then we need to pattern ourselves even after people that don't claim to love God, don't claim to be in God. And sometimes you'll find that they are the people that will do more for their neighbors, more for someone else that may be in need. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And I forgot to find this other scripture. My mind started out running. Hallelujah. But Romans chapter 13, verse 8, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Hallelujah. Don't owe anybody anything. Some of us just borrow because we don't consider our neighbor. We don't consider what someone else has to do with their money. Whatever you don't have, just hold off until you get it. Hallelujah. God, it was in the other scripture that I wanted to get, if someone can find this. The scripture said to lend, but not borrow, okay? We're good for borrowing, but poor when it comes to lending. And then the thing is, you don't lend nothing that you really are looking for back. If you lend it, make sure it's something that you don't necessarily want back. You're not going to go through changes if you don't get it back. Hallelujah. Those are one of the reasons that we don't forgive people. We hold grudges against people because they borrow from us and then they don't pay us back, okay? We borrow from people and don't pay them back. And when they start to get a little disturbed, we wonder what's wrong with them and they got an attitude. And so we're just gonna play on top of that attitude to give us reason not to give them what we owe them, okay? But you don't borrow, especially from your brothers and sisters. You can hold off for what you need. Your need is not going to kill you, hallelujah, to not have what it is that you're desiring right now. Okay, Charlene, put that up. This Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 6. Read it. Charlene?
Can you hear me? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, the word says, for the Lord thy God bless thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee.
Hallelujah. Why? Because you are the lender. You're not trying to borrow. You're not trying to take anything. And sometimes people will borrow from you with the express purpose of taking what you have because they don't want you to have more than they have. And they'll borrow from you just because you have it. They don't really need it. They can do without it or they can wait, but they will borrow from you to see you minimized in what you have, okay? Stop borrowing. Whoever you owe, pay them back. And pay them back the next time you get paid. Hallelujah. Okay? Because the word of God says, owe no man anything but to love him. Hallelujah. And you owe a lot of people love. Again, this is the time to use your phones, text, talk, call, write letters, send cards, do something and let someone know that you love them. But make sure your love is real. Your love is genuine. Okay? Verse 9 says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When you love your neighbor, you don't do all of these things to them. You don't even want to see these things come to them, even though you may be the innocent one. Hallelujah. But you should not take someone else's husband or someone else's wife and sleep with them. That's adultery. I don't care if you don't know the person's husband or you don't know the person's wife. That's still your neighbor. Everybody that lives upon the face of this earth is your neighbor. If you come in contact with them for any reason, they are your neighbor. Hallelujah. Because they are God's creation just like you are. Don't kill them. Don't physically kill them. Don't naturally kill them. Don't kill their spirit. Don't kill their drive. Don't kill their joy. Don't kill their happiness. Don't kill their peace. Hallelujah. We may not, what we call murder someone and what the law says, murder someone. Hallelujah. But we do a whole lot of killing to people's inner man. Hallelujah. We kill their strength. We kill their drive. Hallelujah. And it upsets us a lot of times when we see we can't get to someone like we wish we could. Hallelujah. Okay. Thou shalt not steal. Stop stealing from one another. That's just like with borrowing. If you say you need to borrow something and you really don't, you're stealing. We steal because what someone else has, we want it. We feel like we're entitled to it. We feel like it belongs to us. We don't pay back sometimes when we borrow from people because we feel like they don't deserve it and they're not worth us keeping our word. They're not worth, hallelujah, us being honest and open with them. So many negative thoughts we feel about a person is the reasons that we don't pay them what we owe them. Okay? If there be, don't bear false witnesses against one another. Don't covet what one another has. Hallelujah. We're quick to tell tales on people. I think somebody called them little white lies, but I don't care if they're white or green or purple or orange. They're still lies in God's eyes. He's colorblind. Okay. God doesn't know color like we know color. Hallelujah. So if it's a lie, it's just a lie. Hallelujah. But we borrow back by a lie. We steal back by a lie. We bear false witnesses back by a lie. And even all of that can be because of covetousness. We don't like the fact that God has blessed someone with something. We think it belongs to us or we should have it and not them. We look down on people and feel like they don't need that. Hallelujah. How you gonna feel when I pull up on the church parking lot in my Lamborghini, bright red Lamborghini? Hallelujah. Are you gonna feel like I don't need it? What if I gotta say, oh, this piece is so low to the floor. Come, y'all, help me out of here. You've been thinking, oh, what in the world you get it for? You don't need it. I can handle something like that, not you. Hallelujah. But as long as I get it down the street, as long as I can turn the steering wheel and make the wheels go. Think about how you think about people. Hallelujah. You're fitting in somewhere in here. You're coveting, or you're stealing, or you're bearing false witness, or even committing adultery. Hallelujah. Because of something that I have, you want to fool with it. You want to mess with it. So it's not good for me or to me anymore. Hallelujah. Okay. If there be any other saying, namely, and all of these, whatever saying that you can come up with that you should not do, and the scriptures are full of them, that they all hinge on the fact that you should love your neighbor as yourself. Because if you love yourself, you wouldn't do all this stuff to yourself. You wouldn't lie on yourself. You wouldn't covet what you already have. You wouldn't commit adultery on you yourself. You wouldn't kill yourself in other ways beside literal murder. You wouldn't do it because you love yourself. Okay? Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And this is the law of faith. You want to fulfill the law of faith? Hallelujah. You're going to have to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself, just like you love yourself. That's how you're going to have to love your neighbor. Hallelujah. Go to Romans 12. And you can be writing these scriptures down so you can read them later on for your reading enjoyment, because there's quite a few scriptures. I mean, the word is so filled with scriptures about us loving one another and how we should treat one another and care for one another. So Romans 12 and 9 and 10, it says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Hallelujah. You can't make no picks and chooses about who you love. And we do all day long. All day long, we make picks and chooses. All day long, people can see your love, your genuine love for one, more so than your genuine love for another. That's the thing that they say about parents. They always have a favorite. Hallelujah. One of the most dangerous things in the entire world, because the children you don't favor, you will shape their destiny, and maybe in a very, very negative way. Because children are not stupid. They can tell that you love one more than the other. They can tell what you favor in that other child. Hallelujah. And they're saying, if you look hard at me, you'll see something that you would love about me. But you're not looking. You're not caring, because you're so stuck on that particular child. You're so stuck on my sister or my brother. Hallelujah. Okay, you can't make picks and chooses about who you want to be a blessing to. When people are in need, hallelujah, so what? You may not care much for their attitude, their dispositions, but you got to go to their rescue, just like you would for somebody that you're head over heels in love with. Hallelujah, that you just love with all your heart. They just like your one of your children, just like whatever it is that you love so dearly. Hallelujah. You've got to be a blessing to those that you're not that fond of. Hallelujah. Because if you're going to love, hallelujah, it can't make no difference in people because of how they are, because of what they say. They got a nasty mouth. I don't like them. They got a sharp tongue. I don't like them. They're so sarcastic all the time. I don't like them. Hallelujah. But you don't like them because that's how you were. You changed, and you just mad because you can't make them change all of a sudden. Hallelujah. You got to love them the same as you love somebody that'll suck up to you, that'll be nice to you, that'll do everything that you want them to do. Hallelujah. Okay? Because you can't have picks and chooses when it comes to your love. Okay? Abhor the evil that causes you to look down on someone because of who they are, what they have, or what they don't have. Hallelujah. Cleave to that which is good. Hallelujah. It's a good thing for you to see everybody like God sees them. They're his children. He loves them, and he loves no one more or better than he does the other. God does not love me better than he loves anyone. Hallelujah. Sometimes we tend to think, oh, God really loves me. I know God's got my back. He said that. Hallelujah. But think about it. When God has to encourage you, he encourages you for reasons. He encourages you for specific things that may be happening or going on in your life at any given time. And he says what he needs to say to you to help you get through, to help you understand that he's on your side. He's got you. You don't have to worry. You can trust him. You can believe in him. Hallelujah. Because he's going to work it out. He got you. Hallelujah. Okay. We tend to not want to be love people like we love ourselves if they don't talk the right way, if they don't move the right way, you know, if they're lazy. So what? You've had your time to be lazy too. Hallelujah. Every last one of us. And still God tells us things and can't get us to move unless he's entreating us the right way. And that's deadly. That really is deadly. Okay. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Hallelujah. I'm learning as time goes on, this brotherly love thing, we're supposed to love like we love our brothers and sisters, but some of us don't even love our brothers and sisters. We have so many issues in family. My God, we are being recorded. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. God, sweet families have so many issues, but I thank God for, you know, my nieces were here, and one niece with her husband and one niece with her daughter. Some of you know Tracy from Denver, and then her sister India came from Cleveland. They were here, and I'm telling you, God taught me so many things, so much about family. Hallelujah. And when you don't have brotherly love for your family, you can't have it for your neighbor. You can't have it for somebody that's not your blood. We're talking about blood relatives. Hallelujah. And even when it comes to the body of Christ, if you can't love your brothers and sisters in the Lord like God tells you to love them, hallelujah, you just can't love people. Your love is just not there. It's just not working. Hallelujah. Because none of us are faultless. We all have our faults. We all have our issues. When we all have done our dirt and still doing some dirt. Hallelujah. So how on earth are we justified looking down on someone else and judging someone else and accusing someone else? Hallelujah. Claiming someone else to be something that we can't say for sure they are. We just think we spot what is going on with them because it's really going on in us. Okay. And all of that activity in your brain and your actions is going to keep you from being kindly affectioned. Hallelujah. You can be affectionate, but then you're not kind with your affection. Hallelujah. You've got to be kind, kindly affectioned one to another, in honor, preferring one another. What matters to you most? You getting what you need, getting what you want, or seeing to the want and the needs of your brothers? Hallelujah. Brethren, meaning brothers or sisters. Hallelujah. The word teaches us that we've got to care and see to someone else before we see to our own selves. Hallelujah. Let's look at John, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. You notice I when I got started working on this relationship thing, you know, this can go on for a good whole year. It's just that much word and probably so much more that would be a blessing to us to talk about relationships, our relationship with God, our relationship with others. Hallelujah. I got some other topic on the paper, and I don't know if we would get to that one. About relationship, but 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Okay. Passing from death unto life means that your old man has died, and you have a brand new man in Christ Jesus. That's what happens when you accept Christ. Now, some of us accepted him maybe 5, 10 to 15, 20, 30 years ago. Hallelujah. And yet we're still walking in death. We're still abiding in death because we have not learned how to love. Hallelujah. We don't take the scriptures and find out what God has to say about love and apply them to our lives when it comes to other people. Okay. We when you take a really good look at yourself, you would love to say, yes, I passed from death to life. Hallelujah. But the only thing, according to the scripture, that determines that is where what your love is all about, where your love is, what your love does. How is your love for one another? Hallelujah. Talk is cheap, but it's all in your actions. Your actions speak so much louder than any words that you could ever say. He that loveth his brother, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You're still walking around in that old man. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if you can speak in tongues. Remember 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You can know all the word you want. You can perform all as charismatic as you think in the Lord, in the things of God, but if you don't have love for the brother, you're still walking in or abiding in death. If you hate your brother, you are a murderer. Hallelujah, because hatred and murder are linked together, okay? To hate someone is deadly because hate grows to death. You want to see them dead. Hate grows rather to murder. Hallelujah. You hate someone, and when you don't get delivered, when you don't get free from that hatred, you get to the point that you really want to see them dead. Okay. And when you hate your brother, you are a murderer. Hallelujah. And no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. The Holy Spirit is not abiding in you. It's not going to abide where someone is walking around hating. Hallelujah. Okay. Hating the brother. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We're just not there. It's just not happening. Hallelujah. You've had a chance to step in front of a bullet, but you didn't. You've had a chance to take somebody's slashes from the knife, but you didn't. Hallelujah. We've got to stop being all about ourselves, about what makes us feel good, look good. Hallelujah. And what we can add to our statue. That's not going to help you at all. There is no help in that for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso have this world's goods and see if his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Hallelujah. You know there are people around you, people that you know that have need of some things. But yet and still, you shut up your bowels of compassion, and you choose not to give. You come up with some kind of reason. Some of it you don't even think about. You just turn your head and say, oh, and keep it moving. Hallelujah. You're going to have a day where you're going to need something. Think about what you would want done if you were in need, and how you would want someone to be a blessing to you. That's how you have to be a blessing to someone else that's in need. Hallelujah. But how can the love of God be in you and you shut up your bowels of compassion and not bless those that are in need. Okay, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hallelujah. It's easy to say you love somebody, but where's your proof? Let's go to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Hallelujah. Okay. I love this direct command here in that begins this 12th chapter. It says, put on holy and beloved bowels of mercy. Put it on. Put it on. Just like you put your clothes on, you need to put on beloved. You need to put on holy and beloved bowels of mercy. You need to put on holy and beloved kindness. You need to put on holy and beloved humbleness of mind. You got to humble your mind. When your mind is humble, it's not hard to help someone. It's not hard to be a blessing to someone. Hallelujah. When you're meek, hallelujah, you got to put on holy and beloved meekness. Holy and beloved long suffering. Hallelujah. You got to go the distance with people, even though you're tired, even though you feel like giving up, even though they seem like a lost cause. They are not. If God directs you to someone and you start to deal with them about their soul, you hang in there. I don't care how things look. You hang in there with that person. We want to give up. God doesn't give up on you. He didn't give up on you. He never will give up on you. So don't you give up on that person that you've already begun to try to draw them to the Lord. Put on holy and beloved, hallelujah, mercies, bowels of mercies. That means that mercy has to come deep down from within you. It can't be no surface mercy. Hallelujah. It's got to be deep, deep down in your soul. Deep. It's got to be deep. Hallelujah. That means that you're going to forbear. You're going to truck through whatever it is that's going on. Hallelujah. You're going to get that person to the place that they hope again. They believe again. They've got peace again. They've got joy again. Hallelujah. And yeah, it is work. But you're trying to build God's kingdom, right? Ain't nothing out here that's been built. No, nothing that's been built. No kingdom that has ever been built, natural ones, has been built easy. Hallelujah. So you know the spiritual kingdoms are not going to be built easy because the enemy is always there trying to tear down everything that we try to do in God's kingdom. Okay? Forbear one another. Deal with whatever it is that they're going through. Hallelujah. Bear them up in their struggles and their trials. Bear them up in their pain. Encourage them. Hallelujah. Lift up their heads by being there, by understanding, not by fighting with them, not by putting them down, not by telling them what they need to be doing. You don't know what nobody needs to be doing. Hallelujah. Because you didn't invent their struggle. You didn't invent their trial, and you don't know how it's going to end. Okay, so you finagled, you fooled around, and you did something sneaky and underhanded, and you started the craziness, but you didn't invent it. God allowed you to do it to show you and the person something. Hallelujah. You keep looking, the Lord will show you how he'll bring them through and deliver them, and where are you going to be left? Hallelujah. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Hallelujah. You got forgiveness just like that. just like blinking your eye. Why is it so hard for you to forgive? You have got to forgive. You can't go with God with unforgiveness. And above all these things, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness. Hallelujah. Your love is going to have to be perfected before you leave here. You cannot go with God and your love has not been perfected. Seriously. Hallelujah. That's why so many things go on in our lives, around our lives, because it's a test. Everything that happens that you know of, it's a test. It's the test to see what you're going to think, what you're going to say, what you're going to do. Hallelujah. It's all a test. Hallelujah. And these tests come to perfect you, to perfect your love. Hallelujah. Because your love has to be made perfect again before you leave here. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, verse 14. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That is one of the most unbelievable scriptures in the Bible. We really feel deep down inside that that word is a lie, because you have unforgiveness, and still when you pray, you ask God to forgive you. Hallelujah. Okay. Forgive people their trespasses so God can forgive you. Hallelujah. Okay, if you don't forgive others, then God is not going to forgive you. You know, when we were first reading up a little further, talking about adultery and killing and stealing, bearing false witness and coveting, hallelujah. A lot of this stuff is done too because we have unforgiveness in us concerning someone. Okay, you have got to forgive because you're still walking and abiding in death, the same death that you abided in before you gave your life to Christ. You're still abiding in that death when you can't forgive. Hallelujah, because God has not forgiven you. You have not gotten forgiveness because of your unforgiveness. Okay, Ephesians 4, 29. Ephesians 4 and 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Hallelujah. You know, your corrupt communication and your great communication, your good communication, both of those come with dissimulation. Because around certain people, you're going to have great communication. Around other people, you're going to have corrupt communication. Hallelujah. And anything that's not like Christ, anything that's not a type of communication that he would convey to anyone is corrupt. Hallelujah. We think of corrupt communication as somebody talking about a vile lifestyle or speaking words of vanity. Hallelujah. But a corrupt communication is even more than that. You name it, out of any word of those 17 that you got in your flesh, all of that is corrupt communication. Everything that you can do that you don't want God a part of, everything that you would do, hallelujah, that you would keep secret from God, hallelujah, is corrupt communication. Hallelujah. Opening yourself up to communication that's ungodly and unholy is corrupt communication. Because whereas you may not have gotten where you need to be yet, if you still deal with people that are still doing those same things that you're trying to be delivered from, then you're going to be worse off than you were. The little the steps that you made to get closer to your deliverance, they're going to be undone. You're going to start going backwards. Hallelujah. Okay. So you've got to be careful about communication all the way around. Okay. Things that we let trickle into our spirits, into our mind, into our hearts. You've got to be careful, because this is the thing. When all this communication gets in you, is fed into you, then it's going to eventually come out of your mouth. And you don't get to choose the time that the wrong thing comes out. You don't choose the time that you say the wrong thing. You don't choose the time, hallelujah, that you get real flip with your mouth and do more damage than you would have done if you just shot somebody in the stomach. At least they may not die if you shot them in the stomach. Sometimes we can do more damage with our communication, the stuff that comes out of our mouth. Okay, but whatever comes out of your mouth, it should edify someone. It should build them up. It should lift them up. It should encourage them. Hallelujah. It should give them to know that God loves them, God cares for them, and God is with them. Hallelujah. It should build them up in their most holy faith. Hallelujah. It should strengthen them. It should enliven them. Amen. Some things you do to edify someone, it'll renew them. It'll make them areas in their spiritual life that had gotten old and rusty and cruddy. It'll renew it. Hallelujah. How much time do you spend trying to build someone up? Not because you know their problem or their situation, not because they cried on your shoulder, hallelujah, but because you know nothing about them, but you just choose someone that you want to build up today, that you want to edify in the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay? When was the last time you just prophesied to somebody and told them, hallelujah, that they're going to do great things in the Lord? That is a prophecy, and it is a true prophecy, because whatever someone does good, they do well, they do wonderful, they do great, they do fine. It is not them. It is the Lord in them. Whether they be saved or not, God deals with us, hallelujah. Gifts and callings come with our repentance. If he's calling you, hallelujah, to a place in him, he's going to call you and you don't have to repent, but he's calling you so that eventually you will repent. Hallelujah. Okay. Where were we? I forgot what scripture I was on. Where were we on? Ephesians? Yeah, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. People are listening to you every time you say something, whether you're on the phone, whether you're on a game system, whether you're on a pad, it doesn't matter. And people are listening to you in your office. They're listening to you. Hallelujah. In your room, your bedside maid office, my kitchen corner office, or the floor and the chair. Hallelujah. People are listening to you. Ooh, hallelujah. But what are you saying about your walk with the Lord? What are you saying about the Lord when you open your mouth? It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Some of the things that come out of our mouths, hallelujah, it is grievous to the Lord. He's like, what? Oh my God. Hallelujah. If God told us the amount of times we made him hurt in one day, and why do you get so blown when somebody hurts you? Oh, they said that hurt. I didn't know they felt that way. Oh, wow, really? Yeah. When we hurt God all the time with things we say, things we do. Hallelujah. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Oh, get rid of the junk, clean out. What was that song they used to have on some TV show? Clean up, everybody everywhere. Clean up, clean up. Everybody do your share. Hallelujah. When you have kids, you just learn all them songs. They don't go away once you learn. Hallelujah. But seriously, we need to clean up. Okay? It's nothing that we do wrong, especially to someone else that's justified. You can't justify it. That justification that you're using is not going to work. It is no good. Kick it away from you, toss it away from you, because you can't justify how you are. You can't justify your action. You can't justify that mean attitude, that bitterness, and that anger that you got all shut up inside of you. It's unjustifiable. I don't care what somebody did. The Bible tells you to humble yourself. Humble yourself. Hallelujah. Okay, get rid of that bitterness. Get rid of that wrath. Put it away from you. Put all the malice away from you. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Your heart has to be tender. Our hearts are hard. They are hard and rough. God says, let your heart be tender. Tender-hearted to one another. Okay, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sakes, have forgiven you. Oh, bless the Lord. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times, and that's for one offense. 70 times seven is how much?
490.
That's 490 times for one thing. So if I punch you in the stomach, you're supposed to forgive me 400. I got 490 punches to punch you, and you got to forgive me for all of them. Now, 491, you might get hit me back. You might get hit me back after I punch you 490 times. And then if I stomp your toe 490 times after I punch you, if I consecutively do both of them, you got to forgive me 490 times for the punch and the stomp. Mm-hmm. And who is saved on here? Yolanda, you ain't gonna let nobody punch you 490 times. And I ain't even put my hand up. Because when it comes to that scripture, I mean, I might let you get a good number in. I don't know. I probably be thinking somewhere around 100. I'm about to die. So, you know, God, do I defend myself now or what? And 9 times out of 10, I might think I hear him say, yeah, girl, go ahead. Because, you know, we hear from God what we want to hear. Mm-hmm. Anything we want bad enough, we'll feel like, the Lord led me. The Lord said it. Okay. But that's 490 times for each offense. Oh, talking about praying. That's for forgiveness, too. You got to forgive. Even if it's not a punch or a stomp, people say things about you, say things to you, accuse you of stuff. Wait, think about it. If you were here, I go. If you were going, I said this, I think, last week. If you were going to die tomorrow and you knew it, you would forgive everybody. Because then the word would kick in, wouldn't it? Oh, if I don't forgive, my Heavenly Father won't forgive me. But don't you know you're doing damage to your heart, you're doing damage to your soul to hold on to it and think that you're going to get the opportunity to ask for forgiveness or to forgive? You know, sometimes death comes so sudden that you don't even know, you don't even know that there is a such thing as life and death, because you can't be here 1 minute or 1 second, and the next second you are gone. Hallelujah. Okay. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. And we talked about this too, but this particular scripture in Matthew, we talked about it, I believe, in Romans, but this one in Matthew, it goes a little bit further. Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. This is why I said just a second ago that we do more damage to ourselves, even though we're waiting and on our deathbed, we were forgiven. But a lot of times some people don't have that opportunity. But even if you wait to that point and you have that opportunity, there's so much damage that you have already done to your soul. Hallelujah. Maybe all the 10 people that you forgave on your deathbed, you really forgot about number 11 because you hated them to the core. And that's the one, that one hatred of that one person is the thing that can keep you from going into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The same way you judge others, that's the same way you're going to be judged. Not necessarily by the person that you judge, but by the Lord. Hallelujah. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Why are you looking at what someone else is doing, judging them to be this, that, or the other? Hallelujah. And you're not even taking a look at your own rickety, rackety self. You have really got to look at self. You really got to, everything that happens, I try to, you know, say, oh God, that's me. I'm guilty. I'm crappy. Okay. I'm not lining up with what your word says. Hallelujah. How many times do you really analyze yourself, the thing when stuff happens? Is it all somebody else's fault? And even if it is somebody else's fault, there's something that you can say about you. You started something somewhere down a long line, maybe years ago, and it just now surfaced. Maybe you're reaping something that you sowed. Hallelujah. You don't want to reap. You'd rather be mad and blame someone else for all of the crap that's going on in your life. Not considering that beingness in your own eye. Hallelujah. They got a little mote, but you got a beam. Anytime you can see something in someone else's eyes, it's little, no matter how big you think it is, but it's little compared to what's in your eyes. It's mote and that's in their eyes that you spot, and it's a great gigantic beam in your own eye that you haven't even looked at and saw. Hallelujah. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. We're good at wanting to clean someone else up and wanting to get someone else's life straight with Christ. And we don't even have our own life together. Hallelujah. Thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then shall thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Your beam in your eye is blocking you from being able to get the little teeny spot out of someone else's eye. Hallelujah. Okay? You can't begin to tell someone how bad they are and where they're going wrong, and you done went wrong, been wrong, came back, and went wrong again. Hallelujah. And all you ever notice is what's wrong with somebody else and not what's wrong with you. Hypocrite, the Lord calls you here in the word. Hypocrite. How are you going to get the mote out of somebody else's eye? You're going to get the crap out of somebody else's eye, and you got a big, gigantic pencil going through yours, and you can't see a thing. Matthew 7 and 12. Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. This is what, think about the prophetic words that came across to God's people back during the time of the kings and the judges. It was all about it was all about love. It was all about, first it was the words was coming because of their love or lack of love for God, because of their love or lack of love for one another. This is the word that's always been ministered. The things that they mostly got in trouble for was because when God sent prophets, a lot of times was because they did not love the Lord as he commanded them to love him. That's why they went into so many punishments. God raised up so many people to be punishment to Israel because of their lack of love. Hallelujah. And that's what he's letting us know here in his scripture that says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And the great salvation we have today, they didn't have back then. They only had the Spirit of the Lord moving in their midst when the Spirit of the Lord decided to move. We have the Spirit of God living in us. Hallelujah. Great salvation. And we're neglecting to walk in it. Worse off than Israel was back then when they dishonored God. Romans 15. Chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Hallelujah. You're strong, but how come your strength diminishes when it's time for you to bear what I'm going through? You ever notice how you lose strength when you're dealing with someone else's problems and issues? But then when you get right back in your little environment, that strength comes right back. Hallelujah. We forget that God is omnipresent and omniscient. He is everywhere and he knows everything. We forget. We really don't take into account who God is on a regular, especially when things we do and think. Yeah. No way. Because if we did, a whole lot of stuff we would not do. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. You have got to edify your neighbor. You've got to build them up. You got to want to bless them. Want to see them blessed of the Lord. Want to strengthen them, empower them. Hallelujah. Bear up their burdens. Hallelujah. You're strong. But notice how we only get weak when it's things that we don't want to be bothered with. Okay. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another to provoke to what?
Love.
And what else? I told you it was Hebrews 10:24.
To provoke him to love and into good works.
Yes. Don't you know somebody that's trying to do, going to do the wrong thing? You can provoke them to do the right thing. You can provoke people to love God. You can provoke people to good works, just like you can provoke somebody to get angry and mad. You can provoke them to love. You can provoke them to good works. Hallelujah. You got to want to see your brother and your sister in a better predicament in salvation than you are loving God. Because the more you push somebody to love God, the more you will love him. Hallelujah. Unless that vanity of your mind is just way off the chain and got you out on cloud 9 somewhere. You can't keep preaching about the love of God, the mercy of God, and the grace of God, and you not come to understand if it's working for them like that, it's working for you like that, and has worked for you like that for so long. Hallelujah. Provoke your brothers and sisters to good works. Don't provoke them to anger. Don't provoke them to jealousy or wrath. Don't provoke them to torment. Don't provoke them to hurt. Okay, but provoke them to good works. So what? Everything doesn't look like yours. It doesn't look the way that you're gonna make it look. So what? People cook and their food doesn't taste like what you would have cooked it. Provoke them to cook something else good. Maybe you keep on provoking them to cook good, then you'll come across something you like. Hallelujah. And when you want them to fix something good for you, they won't say, well, they don't never like nothing that I fix. Hallelujah. Okay. Provoke your brothers and sisters to love. Hallelujah. We have our little picks and chooses of who we talk the real stuff to. And when you really, you know, when you're talking about people, you're talking about things that people don't like, okay? Brianna has her little friend that knows what she doesn't like about church and what she does, like what she doesn't like about her job and what she does, like what she doesn't like about her mom and what she does like or doesn't like, okay? We have people that know those things about us. Hallelujah. Okay. But people that come to you and share information like that, provoke them to love. Don't say, yeah, I know what you mean because I had a run in with them myself. You're not helping anything. Okay. Provoke them to love and you know, that's the time where you don't have time to go get up in a closet and pray, but you got to be walking in prayer with the Lord. God, please give me what to say. Please give me, you know, how to respond to this. Because neither one of us right now are walking in your will. Okay? You have got to provoke somebody. You have got to arouse somebody to say something nice, something wonderful about someone that they may hate or dislike, something they hate or dislike. Hallelujah. Okay, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What day are they talking about? Ouch.
The coming of the Lord.
Yeah, the coming of the Lord. Who else says something?
I said Christ's return.
Yeah, his return. Because everybody is going to be looking, if you're still alive and you remain here on the earth, you're going to be looking to be caught up with him. Hallelujah. But what have you done to make the wrongs right? Not just in your life, but in someone else's life. Hallelujah. Okay. What excuses do you use for not coming to the house of the Lord to encourage someone, to build them up? Okay. What is it tomorrow, even today, start tonight before you leave, even before you leave Zoom, once you leave Zoom, go and exhort somebody. Make them feel good. Make them feel like you care. Make them feel like you love them. Hallelujah. Okay. Let them know that you, yes, you look at them and their life is a testimony to you. Your life, their life is a blessing to you. Hallelujah. Okay. The day of the Lord is approaching. You can't wait until the Lord comes. before you decide, oh, that looks like little people disappearing. Mm. Oh God, oh, Sister Bree, you girl, you do good work, whatever. You ain't even gonna be able to get the right words out. Hallelujah. And God is the kind of guy, he gonna snatch somebody that ain't around you first. You won't even know that that's the time, because the Bible says you won't know the time, the day or the time. Hallelujah. But we're famous for trying to clean something up just in the nick of time. We do that with school. We do that with everything on our job, everything. You fool around for so long, and then, oh, your paper is due, your work is due, your project is due, and you're trying to get it all together in the nick of time. Hallelujah. The day is approaching. It's coming. Hallelujah. But if we keep sleeping, we won't have time to do whatever we need to do to exhort someone, to help someone, to lift them up, to love, to forgive. Hallelujah. To clean up a lot of the mess we've made, to get right with things that we've done. Okay. It's another scripture that talks about that day approaching, and it approaching fast. And it is coming fast. Hallelujah. Okay, so I pray that you have written all of these scriptures down. Please go back and read them. And I did do quite a few scriptures because I wanted to give you something to continue to read on until next week. Because again, it is just so many scriptures, especially dealing with love. But these, some of them too, are toward the latter part is scriptures that dealt with other things, other issues that we have with one another that we need to clean up before we can go to be with the Lord. And I'm telling you, it is not, your stuff is not hid. It's not hid. People that are not around you, people that don't even associate with you, they know exactly what's going on with you. Mm. Hallelujah. Okay. Because see, that's the thing. A lot of times we think our thoughts and our feelings, stuff we say, we think is hid. But it's not. It's not. Okay, so Great Grace, I love you. Go back, read those scriptures again, and let the Lord continue to bless your soul. Find yourself where you're not, where you need to be, and get to work. Hallelujah. I love you guys. Have a good night. Anybody have any comments or questions?